Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Welcome to the roundtable here with Dr. Bessie and mothers and daughters around the world. Russian trying to get here before the music stops. But anyway, got caught. I have to tell the truth. You can tell it in my voice. You're just like, okay. You need to stop real fast there before I can get back to my post. Good morning. And good morning. I like to say it three times. That just reinforces it. Everything in threes, you know, it has that power. So it's a good day. Good day to be alive. Good day to get on the radio. Good day to share some thoughts, some words that is downloaded to us through the Holy Spirit. And before we get into a lot this morning, sometimes I get to talking and forget that we should say the prayer first. And I try to do that. Sometimes I get off on a tangent and start talking about things that I guess I shouldn't. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm fine, Dr. Fletcher. How are you? Good morning, audience. I'm down in South Florida, sitting out on the lanai or the balcony, whichever way you want to call it. And it's just a beautiful day here. So thank you. And thank you, audience, for joining us.
Mm-hmm. South Florida.
Yeah.
Hold 1 second. Good morning, Deborah.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How's everybody?
Doing good.
Awesome.
Can't complain. Two ladies, both of y'all in South Florida. This time of year, a lot of people love to be in South Florida. Depending on where you are in the country, snowed in, icy and cold, South Florida seems like the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm farther north myself, so it gets a little chilly here. I don't know what the weather's like, but it certainly has been raining. But you know what? Thank God I got a place. I'm inside. It's warm, food to eat, and an opportunity to serve. So, Cynthia, I think Deborah did. Who did the prayer last time? I can't remember. Cynthia, you want to do the prayer?
Sure, absolutely. Dear Father, we come thanking you for this is the day that you have made. We thank you, Father God, for you are worthy to be praised. We thank you, Father God, for using us to bring the good news to mothers and daughters around the world. Thank you, Father God, for the due diligence of our fearless leader, Dr. Fletcher, and Deborah, and myself. Thank you that you've given us a willing heart to want to do your will and to do your work. And so, Father God, it is faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. And we thank you that we're able to bring the word of God to so many people around the world. We pray, Father God, that something will be said that will edify you, first of all, and to lift someone else spirit to know how real you are. And we pray, Father God, that we will always be mindful and we will always have the courage to say what you would have us to say. Bridle our tongues where it needs to be bridled. And with all of that, Father God, we'd like to say thank you. Thank you, and we pray that something will be said in Jesus' name to help somebody else. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. That's all we want to do is be able to help. How was your week last week, Deborah?
Last week? I'm trying to remember. The week was good. My auntie went home to be with the Lord on Tuesday, the one I've been going to visit. Yeah, so you get a chance to give Mom a call. Other than that, you know, I'm just thanking God because He knows best, and, you know, she was healed. He healed her in His way. So I'm just saying, Lord, thank you that, you know, I had opportunity to, you know, be a part of that transition, not knowing it was a transition. And that I'm just glad that I was able to just get past the past, you know?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Is your mother's sister?
Yeah, her only sister. She only got one sister.
Oh.
And so when I be going to Clearwater or St. Pete, I say I went home back home, I be going to see her. She been in the AFL because she had a leg issue. You know, she wasn't sick up top or nothing. It was just something that she had an infection in the leg, and it healed, and then they had to go back in, and then it wouldn't heal. Then just over 2 years of that, and she had went in with pneumonia Sunday and died Tuesday. And they said she had a blood clog. So between the pneumonia and the blood clog, that was, you know, the reason for her expiration. But I just believe that God said, you don't have to suffer no more, you know, and, you know, just come on with me. Because she's bleeding, Lord. Been saved since she's a little girl. Been in church all her life. And just had some ins and outs. But overall, you know, she loved the Lord.
Well, you know, this journey of life is challenging to all of us. And it's always about making decisions and hoping that we make the right one. You know, no one makes a decision and knowingly, you know, I'm going to make this decision because I know this is the wrong decision to make and I know it's going to bring hell and damnation on me. You know, we always think we're making the right decision. And so, yeah, we're all on the journey and we're just trying to do what we believe is best, and we learn every day, and that's the purpose of this radio program, is that the Holy Spirit can use us to speak, because He can do no work unless He goes through a human body. So He needs a body. He needs someone who's willing that will allow Him to speak and share and help and touch the lives of others. So I will give your mother a call. I had no idea. I wish you had text me. You know, your mother and I have got a whole new relationship now, so you have to let me, she's not going to tell me, but you have to let me know, because she texted me this week, and I texted her back, but I had no idea. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, we found out Wednesday, and I was just trying to let her process it, you know, give it time. I said, I definitely got to tell her Saturday, you know.
Yeah.
I'll give her a call. Yeah.
She's my new BFF now.
So, oh Lord, watch out, sister. Watch out.
It's all right. It's all right. I share.
Okay.
Sometimes it gets to be too much for me, so I have to pass her off, you know. So I'll share. I share.
Yeah, when she got her baby and everybody was on one track and one mind, she knew the Lord had moved. It's not about me, it's about the Lord. But, you know, she does text me and she'll just tell me, you know, I love you and I appreciate you, you know. And I just go like, wow, you know, look at God, you know, because I can take no credit for it. And I know she's saying to me, we are well and we're doing good. You know, that's letting me know that she's happy in her heart and pleased with the relationship the two of you have, and that makes me happy, you know. And I tell them that no money can pay for that. When somebody texts me like that, say things like that, there's no money can do that. And I just laugh and smile and say in my heart, look at all those years that you cried and wondered and it was about nothing. That's the way the enemy do you. It's all about nothing. And then when you really get to the realization, you be like, what? I waste all that time and it really wasn't that. But that's the game we're in life. We just got to be able to keep our hands in God's hand and believe and trust and try to make the right decisions. But I will give her a call.
Yeah, and I spent a night with her. She called me. She called me New Year's Day crying, and I was already halfway that way. I said, I'm on my way. And then I said, the husband left. I said, you can just tell Pops that I'm staying the night. You know, I'm staying the night. So I laid in the bed with her. She couldn't sleep, and she got up, and she went in the living room. Then she got up, and she went in the other room. And she just finally, she found 7 o'clock in the morning, she went to sleep. So, yeah, I stayed up there all day with her, spent the night. And when they got her stuff, she wanted some jeans. She was so emotional, she couldn't go shopping. I said, Lord, I thank you. she said, oh, you like going shopping by yourself. I said, yeah, I saved some money. You just stay right here. I'm going to get me some Boston Market and whatever. When I came back, she was all dolled up. I left for Thursday. So, you know, anyway, yep. So, you know, she went to work for a little bit yesterday, and, you know, she had to go and face somebody else that she worked with that's in the nursing home. So she said, I don't know how I'm going to work, but not tell the guy, because the guy is so nice and so understanding. I'm going to try to work with him and then try not to tell him, but I'm going to have to probably tell him. You know, so how you tell somebody that's on their way out that you know you got to be sensitive.
Yeah.
So she was
dealing
with that. And so, you know, yesterday I called her and say, oh, what you doing? I'm trying to get some rest. I said, yeah, I just woke up. She said, okay, well, let me get some of that then. I said, okay, Mom.
That's what I'm talking about. That, you know, mothers and daughters out there, we're sharing and you're hearing us talking and you're wondering, well, what's this conversation about? The conversation is about Deborah and her mother having an honest conversation and looking at what each of them thought in their heart and how they were processing information about their relationship. And then the clarity came, and now they're just in this wonderful, bliss relationship and understanding. Now, Cynthia, you in Florida, too, this week, and you're excited about the new students that we have that's coming on to the Bible College. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we got to go into the message.
Okay. Well, yeah, I went by the work release program last night just to confirm with the students for orientation for Monday, the 6th, and they were just so excited. And by them being excited and sharing how they had shared with their mothers, that that one young lady actually wants me to laminate the letter, her essay that she wrote about her father, because she promised to send it to her mother. And I told her absolutely. And that they said they've been wanting one of the young ladies said she had been praying for a couple of years being in prison that God would allow her to get her education. And she said when we came through the door and offered free education, she said that was her answer to a prayer. And she is just over the moon. She said she's been listening to your broadcast, your blogs, and her mm-hmm. and her mother started listening to the cast on since she registered. And she says she's been so excited, and her mom is excited that she's going to start college. And she say, I mean, they just brought joy to me, because I was telling one of our business community partners last night, because we took the class together. I'm down here for classes also, audience. And she was just saying that how much and how important it is that we get in the habit of hearing. And so when she told me that last night, and I was telling them that when I'm in the classroom, that's where my joy lies, because that's the gift God has given me. And so I was just so excited last night that they were excited. And so I look forward to this year with those ladies and this journey of getting them across that stage. God, Dr. Fletcher, you already know how challenging it can be to get them across that stage, because when they just start transitioning out, they're more focused when they're in. But when they leave, it's like pulling teeth. And I told them last night, there are going to be some people who's going to try to talk you out of this education because they don't have the courage to do it. You got to stay focused. You guys got to be a sisterhood, and you got to encourage each other to stay the course in order that y'all can get across that that uh, that line and be amongst those who's going to graduate in 2021. And so they're excited. I'm excited. And I say, let's do it.
Yeah. I got excited when I heard excitement in your voice last night. And I said to myself, you know, that's the joy that I get just to see them and get to that. So, you know, I can't wait to see them at the end of the month when we go for graduation. But, you know,
yes, ma'am.
I think about Harriet Tubman, you know, pulling them across.
I love it. I love the visual.
Know? Yeah, we're just pulling them across, you know, just whoo, getting them hook or crook, getting them through every hurdle to get them across that stage to walk across with a college degree and being able to look at new opportunities and possibilities for their life as they go into another journey. So I'm excited that you're excited. I look forward to it, and I know they're in no better hands than to have you down there because it is your passion. And out of your passion, people can get that love and that honesty, and they know that you care. So thank you
Absolutely.
For all that you do. I appreciate you guys, and then I'm going to come right back and pick you up. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, audience. Let's get started here. Wow. You know, it's amazing. I'm amazed, you know, that the switchboard showed me sometimes different ones that are on there. People come in and go and one thing to the other. But when you go back and look at the numbers, you can see that people were on the radio. And I tell you, if you're on here and you click one, want to say something, want to share something, by all means, just click one and we'll bring you on. Otherwise, we just appreciate you being on. We appreciate you listening because I know if you're listening, the Holy Spirit is going to say something that's going to touch you, and then you're going to use that as a testimony to help somebody else because he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows exactly the desires of your heart, the intent of your heart. Therefore, he's going to be able to touch you and give you an answer to whatever it is that you think that you're going through that you won't be able to make it. You know, most times we keep saying, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through this. You know, that fear that the enemy wants to place, that's why he said, fear not. See, you know, we say this and we say it a lot, and I'm going to say it this morning again because it's really worth repeating every time I come on this radio. The Bible is just a book of instructions. It tells you exactly what to do. And I think a lot of times we as humans get caught up in the stories. See, the stories give you the beginning, the middle, and the end. But within those stories, there are little tidbits of instructions that if you really pay attention, if you have a relationship with Christ, those instructions will magnify themselves in a way that they'll stand up as big as 10-foot letters. I mean, it just be so big, it just hits your spirit. You'll be like, wow. Then you got to stop and think on that thing and meditate on it because it's going to grab your attention. Because, see, you're reading about somebody else's life. You're reading their testimonies. You're reading what happened. And we get so caught up in that. And then it brings you right down to the middle of the book. And then you cross over from the Old Testament, what happened, and to what's happening, and then into what's going to happen. What's in there. The what happened is just your reference. The what is happening is the in that it's your instructions. The instructions of what you should do now and what you should do later, because it's going to now tell you what's going to happen later. Not in Revelations. So if you get all of that and just get a grasp, all of it falls around the middle where Jesus Christ came into the picture. He came to do the demonstration. He came to show the way. He came to show you the possibilities. He came to give the instructions. That's why it's very important that you read the red letters, because he came to give the instructions. All the instructions are in the red letters. You don't have to worry about the Old Testament other than history, giving you a foundation of how we got to the middle. In the middle are your instructions. So when you get the instructions, all you got to do is do what Jesus told you to do. And he tells you, I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. That's the first instruction right there. If you want to follow me, see, he already asked you to follow him. You know, put down everything you're doing, Bessie, because what you're doing is not that important. You're back in the story. I want you to come out of the story. I want you to come into the present. And the present is right now, this is what I want you to do. If you want to be like me, then this is who I am. This is what I do. And this is how I do it. And this is why I do it. And this is who I do it for. Instructions. And then when you get that, if you don't deviate from that and all that he said, then you get the same results. Keep in mind, Jesus didn't create what he said. He said, I say what the Father told me to say. So the Father, who is the creator of all things, he spoke the word, and the word created heaven and earth and the fullness thereof, and everything was formed and created through the word. So if God used the word, he tried to show us this in the stories back in history, Abraham, Isaac, Solomon, all of the prophets, Isaiah. But none of them could deliver it. Moses, none of them could deliver it in the way that he needed it to be delivered. Because, see, they had baggage. And no one could really 100% believe in them because they knew in the back of their mind Moses killed a man. Not looking at what happened and why he did it. No. Moses killed a man. So they believed Moses to a point, but there was some doubt, and they were like, mm-hmm. But when they saw the miracle, oh, they believed. But then when the miracle was over, they went back to looking at Moses as Moses. He killed the man. Solomon, he has all these women. See, couldn't do anything with that. Let's just leave that history over there. And then let's come back to the middle. And in the middle, he says, I have got to create a body that comes from a body that's cleansed and have no sin. Pure body, something that they can't even really point the hand on, even though they tried and they crucified him, but it was not by truth. It was by a lie, because they couldn't believe that somebody could be that pure, somebody could follow the rules without breaking them, somebody knew the answers to everything, somebody that could say, and it was, someone had wisdom beyond belief, someone who say, I am that I am. When you see me, you see him. Oh, really? Can't, you know, that was too much. But he had to show that and demonstrate that, because people had to really, the believers would believe beyond the lies. So now, you just got to follow instructions. The thing that stands out to me when I think about Jesus and when you're following his instructions and he says, I only say what the Father says or does what he tells me to do. You know, the first story that comes to my mind is the story when the woman was there and they wanted to stone her. I always think of that story. And everybody was just the old, the young, and they said the oldest first, and then the youngest, and they had stones. And can you just imagine, she's standing there shivering and scared to death, and he's standing there, and they're just going back and forth. Well, you know, she did this, and she did that, and she should have done this, and she did put it, and they're just going on and on and on and on and on. I don't know how many, but if it was even three, four, five, it was one too many. And then Jesus just kneeled down. And in my mind, I'm seeing the picture that when he kneeled down, he got beyond the noise. He had to get down so he could hear the Father. It was too much noise in his ears standing up, and that's something we don't do. We don't remove ourselves from the noise. We just stand right there. See, the instruction is listen, look, and learn. He kneeled down. He removed himself out of the ear gates out of the way of the voices going to and forth, back and forth in his head. He just kneeled down. And he was doodling on the ground, and you'd wonder, what was he writing? I don't think he was writing anything. I think he was just doodling. I think he was just saying, okay, waiting on the Father to tell him something. I don't know what to do in this case. What do you think I should do? And he's talking to the Father. You know, they're going to stone her. What should I say? What do you want me to say? Anything you want me to say? And he said, those without sin cast the first stone. And you can imagine Jesus saying, wow. Oh, okay. That's different. And he stands up and he says, those without sin cast the first stone. Now, only God could know that they know and knew within their heart that they were not without sin. But it was a powerful, powerful message that it paralyzed them to the point where they dropped the stone and the oldest to the youngest walked away. It was like, it was a miracle. It was miraculous. And she stood there looking like, well, what the heck happened? Those without sin, who knows somebody else's sin? They could have lied and say, I don't have no sin. But see, once the word came from God and Jesus spoke the word, the power was in the word, the truth was in the word, and they knew. And they walked away. So we're talking about following instruction. And I tell you, that was not anything that God talked to me about this morning. I'm just blown away at what he's saying right now. I'm telling you the truth. Because our topic today is mothers and daughters, you have the answers to all your problems. Now, I understand it. I understand why the Holy Spirit said all of that. Because inside he already talked to me about the topic this morning. But I was just thinking as words were coming out of my mouth, and I was thinking, I'm riding. I was just riding with that message a few minutes ago. And then that brings us back to the topic. And it fits, if you think about it, mothers and daughters, you have the answers to all of your problems. Last week we talked about, are you mothers and daughters, are you stuck? But this, are you, you have the answers to all your problems. Now I see why he gave that opening statement. Because it sets you up to understand how and why and what to do with any problem that arises in your life. Now, I know some of you are probably saying to yourself, is that true, Dr. Fletcher? What do you mean I have the answer to all of my problems? If I had the answer to all my problems, I wouldn't be worrying. I wouldn't have stressful days and thoughts, and I wouldn't have sleepless nights. So, you know, What are you saying? Do you really believe that? I have the answer. Do you think you have the answer to all your problems, Dr. Beth? And my answer is yes. I have the answer to every problem that comes my way. But now the key is, am I going to choose the right answer? Am I going to make the right decision? Because, see, you're always in a court of law. You got the defendant and you got the prosecutor. You got the judge. And then you got the person that's on trial. You know, I got to make the decision. God being the judge. The devil being the prosecutor. And I'm sitting there with the issue. Now, here's the problem. The judge is going to give you a scenario. That's best that you can choose which one you choose. And the prosecutor is going to put his case up and they're going to try to confuse you so that you will not know which answer to choose. You're going to have to go in your head and go in your intro conversations and say to yourself, oh, my God, which one is it? Now, that sounds right. I believe that's the right answer. The judge is going to give you another scenario. The prosecutor is going to give you another one. And then you're going to say, wait a minute, before I give my final answer, let me call my friend. And then you call who you think is your friend. You say, look, this is where I am. I need you to help me make this decision. What do you think? And the friend said, girl, if it was me. Well, see, that's the wrong answer right there. Starts out wrong because it's not her. So she's telling you in the beginning, I'm giving you the wrong answer. Because, girl, if it was me, well, the first thing should come up into your mind is, okay, she's answering for herself. If it was me, this is what I would do. But I'm not talking about you. I'm trying to get an answer for me. Instead of saying, well, if you look at it like this, and if you do this, if you say that, what do you think? Do you think that'll work for you? See, most times they don't do that. They want to tell you what they would do as if I'm always right. Then you know that's not the truth. So then you're confused again. Okay, thank you very much. And you get back out and you're back into this trial of trying to make a decision. But keep in mind, it's all in your belief system. You have the answer. There's nothing that comes into your life to challenge you without the answer already being there. Why would God create you to fail? What kind of good God is that? Why would he create you to fail? He created you to have this wonderful life in the Garden of Eden. But we all know that story. So now we are challenged. And we have to be able to select whether we're going to eat off of that tree, pass it by, because every decision is a decision to take a bite, and hopefully it's a good apple. But see, he tells you, whatever you believe in your heart, and don't doubt it, you shall receive. See, now, here goes some instructions. See, because whatever you have in your heart, if you hold it there long enough, you're going to start debating with it in your intro conversations, those ongoing conversations in your head. You're going to start trying to solve a problem within your head before you really say it out of your mouth or tell somebody. A lot of times we just keep it, and sometimes people keep those conversations going into their head so long without releasing those words, without releasing that pressure until they go into a depression, and all of a sudden they are locked up in their mind. And it takes us back to our journey from last week. They get stuck. And then now you need someone like me, Dr. Fletcher, to come and sit down and talk about those problems that you have. As a Christian clinical psychologist, I tell my clients, I'm only going to give you anywhere, 12 weeks is the max of counseling. around 6 or 7, if you do exactly what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you're good to go. You got a clear understanding. But I can tell you, out of 20 years working with mothers and daughters, it only takes me 2 hours. 2 hours and the Holy Spirit will come through. And whatever that problem is, you got the answer. So am I saying you need me, Dr. No, I'm saying you need the Holy Spirit, because all I'm going to tell you is that we're going to talk to the Holy Spirit and see what he says. He's going to help us think this thing through. I don't have your answers. I would never make a client feel that they can come to me. I go, Dr. Fletcher, well, I'm going to get the answer. No, you can go to the Holy Spirit. But see, he used me and you, if we're willing, to speak to someone else. That's our job, is to be able to carry the Holy Spirit around to speak to others and to bring them to the Christ-like thinking, to eternal life. There's nothing else that you're designed to do. Anything else is fluff. That's your main course. So I release myself to the Holy Spirit. I'm willing. Use me. And he does. Don't say if you don't mean it. Because there'll come a time he'll put a situation in front of you and you may not want to do it. But you told him you were willing. I'm willing. So stop crying. Stop murmuring and complaining. Because you said you're willing. Nobody said it was easy. Jesus said he was willing. He didn't know he was going to the cross. But because he said he was willing, he followed it right on through. Now, you know your journey is not going to be hanging on a cross 9 times out of 10. It's not going to be. Jesus already paid that price. So when you say, I have a problem, you have the answer too. Sometimes you don't want to face the answer. I had a young lady call me this week, and she's crying, telling me the situation. I don't know where to start. Just start. It'll be okay. I'll catch up with you. Just keep going. At the end of that conversation, we talked about 45 minutes. She was laughing. Laughing. I can't believe it. It's just a matter of being able to calm down, find your peace, and think. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak. It's that simple. But the enemy wants to keep you so busy. He wants to That's why I don't like it when people say to me, oh, Dr. Fletcher, I really wanted to call you and I really wanted to talk to you about something, but, you know, I know you're busy. I know how busy you are. And I said, no, I'm not busy. I'm not that busy. Because, see, when people say that, they try to make you feel important. They try to make you feel like, oh, you just, no, I'm not. I have a lot of stuff I'm working on, and I'm just like everybody else, juggling, trying to make sure I put everything in a place, in a space. But I got enough sense to stop. When I'm overwhelmed, I just learned that over the years. And I rest. And I'm a Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? Because this is not working for me. Like I tell people, literally, I will ask the Holy Spirit, should I buy a pair of shoes? Because when you realize I'm here as a servant and I just serve, then you're like Jesus. You only do what the Father says for you to do, or say what he tells you to say. And that's a hard work in progress. It's not easy. Because the body thinks that it's in control. The body thinks that it can have whatever it wants. And you're in a constant battle. People say with the mind. No, you're in a constant battle with the body. Body's a selfish thing. Has desires that, you know, you just want to slap it. Go somewhere and sit down. No, we're not doing that. But I want to go there. I want to do this. I want to drop it like it's hot. No, we're not doing that. Go sit down. You have to take control. So you're making a decision. That is the answer to that problem. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm telling you, I don't think nobody out there loves to dance no more than I do. And I'm not saying dancing is a problem, but there's a time and a place for all things. God wanted to use me to deliver a word. He's not asking me to go out there and dance the word out. He's asking me, I need to use you. I need you to be in this mode so I can speak to this crowd. That's why he says a time and a place for all things. And when you submit yourself, you can hear him, and then you get the answer. There's nothing that can confront you that you don't have the answer for. How do you do that? The first thing you got to do is make a decision. Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe Jesus is the Son? Do you believe that he was sent to show you the way? Do you believe he's the Savior? Do you believe he died, rose, and ascended to the right hand of the Father? See, you got to believe the story. If you don't believe the story, it's going to be hard for you to find the answers. Even though the answers are right there, the truth cannot reveal itself to doubt. The truth only reveals itself to faith. That's why faith is those things that are hoped for. Because it's not there. It's the substance of things hoped for. And in the substance lies the truth. And the truth will make you free. Some, you know, people like to say the truth will set you free. The Bible said the truth will make you free. And in that freedom, once you believe, then truth shows up. Whenever there's a problem, there's an attack on you mentally, physically, truth will show up. All you got to do is ask. And then when you have a relationship with Christ and you read the instructions, and you may not need that particular instruction maybe today, but tomorrow something may pop up, and then you say, the doctor says, well, you have this or that or the other. And you could go back to the archives of your mind and says, you know, because the Holy Spirit is there to remind you of what he said. No, I don't have that. Because he said, the instructions was, by his stripes ye were healed. So if I were healed, I'm healed now, and I'm going to leave those instructions. I'm not going to take instructions of someone else that is rewriting the truth for my life. I'm going to take the truth from the person that created me, designed me, that know me, that worketh through me. That's my truth. You can decide to believe whatever you want. That's why he says, here, you choose life or death. You know, choose life is me. I am the life. I'm the kingdom, I'm the power, the glory. Thy kingdom come. Come where? In you. Now, you can choose to believe that, or you can choose to believe the doctor. And whichever choice you make, that's where your life experiences lie. You could choose the doctor, and then now you got to go through treatments. You got to take medication. You know, it's a rough road. But you could choose, no, I'm over here. But keep in mind, if you choose the doctor and you made the wrong choice, God is with you. He's going to ride that right on out with you until truth shows up in your consciousness that you say, oh, I changed my mind. See, that's why you see people go to the doctor and they say, I don't know what happened. It was here, and then all of a sudden it's gone. We see no trace of it. Then they call another doctor, and they look at it, and they look at the x-ray from the day before, and they look at the x-ray for today, and they can't believe what happened. They said, man, you must really know God, because I'm telling you, it was here yesterday. No, that's when your truth
came in and you received it in your heart, and truth showed up. This is the truth. By his stripes ye were healed. That's why you can cut your arm and all of a sudden it'll heal itself back. You don't have to heal. I don't care if they stitch you up, they still cannot. The doctors cannot heal the body. They cannot make the skin come back together and disconnect. It is already done. What they do, they stitch it just to keep you from looking at an open area for a while, but it's going to heal anyway. It's going to come together without the stitches. May leave a greater scar, but it's going to come together. So I'm saying all that to say this. If you can just look into your mind and say, no matter what comes my way, God has already prepared the answers. I knew what you would think before I sent you here, Bessie. I knew that you would be this day on the radio saying what you're saying this day. I know it seems to some people, really, yes, that's my belief system. I believe that he created me, and from the beginning to the end, he knows all about me. He knows what he designed me to do. He knows when the decisions I was going to make, and I've made some wrong decisions, trust me. And he knew he would have to help me get back on track. And that's a constant thing. Every day I'm praying, Lord, help me do the best that I can this day. And then I try to remember his instructions. And a few of them that works for me is when I think about when he says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I try to think of myself in my heart. I try to think good. I'm in good health. I'm young. I'm 27 and a half. See, 27 and a half, people think that's I'm being cute or that's, no, 27 and a half. See, the subconscious mind believes what you say. 27 and a half has a youthness that you're not 30, so you're not really responsible, but yet you're youthful enough that I can run, jump, ride bikes, drive RV. There's nothing in my mind that I cannot do. Because, see, as I believe in my heart, so am I. I don't believe in arthritis and all these things, because if I do, if I put my age and then I start thinking, well, at this age you're supposed to do this, then that's who I become. So I create in my mind, in my heart, who I want to be, and the body responds. And then I think about when he says, I supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. See, these are some of the things that I have written down. And I think about that. I supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Now, you know, that's a lot of riches. And then he says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall open. So I'm going to ask. And I'm definitely seeking. Whenever time I read the Bible, I'm looking, I get something. I knock on the heart. God, I'm here. It may seem like a fairy tale, but you have to create your own relationship with God. You have to be like a child. Don't get so serious with it. Play with it. Because that's what he wants. Because a child will believe. And a child is innocent. A child has no doubt. If the daddy tells the child, I'm going to get you a bike for Christmas, that child, it could be June, that child will tell everybody, my dad's going to get me a bike for Christmas. Has no reason to doubt his daddy. So why would we doubt our father when he sent the son to plainly walk on this earth, to touch and feel and to say, the father said this, my father said, can you believe me? And I love it when Jesus will say, verily, verily, I say to you, like, truly, truly, come on now.
The other ones that I have is Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Have faith in God. Speak to the mountain, tell it be cast, removed and cast into the sea. Or say and believe in your heart and don't doubt it, and you shall receive it. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe it, all things are possible. So all I'm saying to you, pick out instructions. There's so many, you know, just pick out what jumps out to you in your heart. Hold on to those instructions. And if something comes up and you need some instructions for that, just go to the Bible, look it up. And somebody might say, well, I don't know the Bible like that, Dr. Best. Well, you know, I don't either. I learn it as I go. I don't want to be so that I think I know everything about the Bible. Go to Google. What did the Bible say about this? And it will spit you out Bible verses. Read those Bible verses, and one will jump out to you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. He's telling you, hold on to this one. This one jumped out. This one will settle in your heart. See, it's all about believe. And so once you get that one, it feels comfortable to you. You can believe that one. So that's where your faith is. And whatever you believe, you shall receive. Now I'm going to go to the switchboard. That's how you get the answers to all of your problems. All right, Cynthia?
Ma'am.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Fletcher, it is so interesting. And we always say God always has us on the same path. We was talking about this yesterday in class, the class that I'm taking for the certification for the school. And it is just so interesting that we have everything we need to follow the instructions. But here's the problem with instructions. If you do not have, if you have not chosen to, if you're not a learner, if you're not a lifelong learner, and if you have not chosen to have a relationship with God, or chose to believe that his word is bond and what he says, because he says that he is not a man that can lie, you will always struggle to follow instructions because you haven't made up your mind to believe. And there is so many scriptures that tells us what you have been saying, that Jesus says, I say nothing unless the Father tells me to say it, and I do nothing unless he tells me to do it. And because we have not made up our mind, we struggle to do and say what the Father has said because we haven't come to believe what the Word of God says. End of story. John 14, 25 to 26. John 15, 26. Back gives us the background for doing these things and how the Holy Spirit teaches us. But if you don't have a relationship with the Father and the Son, then you're not going to be able to tap into the Holy Spirit to hear when he's trying to get you to understand that here is the answer. We all have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And so, but we can't tap into the Holy Spirit until we choose to accept our Lord and Savior. So because he sent him back to be with us for those who chose to believe. And until we come to believe and accept, Dr. Fletcher, we go always struggle. And you, guess what? God say, do you boo? Because he is a gentleman, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, and that Jesus is a gentleman. They don't force themselves on you. You get to choose to believe. And when you said about don't fear, there is some 365 times in the Bible I've recently learned. One for every day. God tell us not to fear. Only believe. Be of good courage. All of those things are put there for us to truly come to follow instructions and don't fear it. Don't fear it. Don't fear the instructions. Only believe it. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Wow. That is so true. Don't fear the instructions. Because if that's the enemy's thing to get you to the point where you can't do that. Because if you do that, then what? You know, And then every day you go through, the next day you go through, and 365 days, you know, he's already done the labor of the day. Do not fear, because it's coming. Do not fear. Deborah?
Wow, I tell you, good stuff, good stuff. I was just taking some notes here when you was talking about listen, look, and learn. And I just wrote that, and I just set it there for a second. And it just reminded me about being in school, how I be so attentive, not hearing but listening, with an ear that's searching for some understanding of what I'm hearing, you know, so I could bring it back to memory when it's time to bring it back. And I be looking, you know, watching the professor like it's a tennis match, where he or she goes back and forth during the presentation of the lecture, back and forth. I'm just like left, right, left, right, left, right, trying to see if, you know, you got cataracts, trying to see, not literally, you know, but I'm looking so hard. If you got a mole, I'm going to see, because I am intentionally looking, because I want to see, in case my eye, my ear, you know, miss something, my eye catch it. And so, and the result is that I learn, that I have something new in the brain and the mind to reflect back to. So, you know, God says in Proverbs, I said 8:33, he says, I'm going to go to the translation that really stuck out to me. He says, and Contemporary English Version, listen carefully to my instructions and you will be wise. So he's saying, right now I need you to just pay so much attention to what I'm trying to teach you, and if you get it, you'll be wise. And so, like you say, sometimes we go to people that we trust to give us information, and sometimes come back worse off than we did when we went there. If I was you, well, you ain't me. There's a different scenario. There's a different situation here. We don't do things, or I don't do things like you, because I am not like you. I'm asking you to give me some advice to better deal with the situation, not to put you in it, because you're a hothead. You know what I mean? You one that don't listen to. You know, I just seem to trust you, but sometimes I see that you ain't on point. So we got to be careful who we listen to, what kind of advice we give. And I used to always tell them in the college, you know, the real college, I'm not the real college, when I was incarcerated, I used to tell them, you know, you got friends that don't really know how to get you out of predicament, and sometimes you learn the hard way after you done listen to them. Now, if I was you, I'd go over there and bust on the head. Now you're in confinement for 60 days when you weren't even there. You weren't mentally there when you went to get the advice from your friend. You probably would have just gave a few choice words, but now since you consult advice from the friend, now you're doing 60 in the hole. So how did that advice work for you? So I always tell them, be careful. If the person that you're getting advice from makes the problem worse, then you turn the wrong way, you know? Because like Cynthia said, a lot of them don't know God. They don't know how to go and consult the word and search the scriptures and look for wisdom in the book of Proverbs. They don't know, like you say, you got to learn, you got to open it and go as you go, but sometimes they're not there. So they come to the world, they come to friends and stuff. And I always tell them, be careful who you get your counseling from. Be careful that they don't exaggerate the situation. Be careful they don't keep putting wood in your fire, because if there's wood in the fire, it's going to keep burning. You want to go to somebody that's going to teach you how to be even-minded and how to examine the situation without exaggerating the situation and kind of minimizing it, and learn so the next time you're there, it ain't that hard to deal with. And so sometimes in school, people get a D or F because they ain't listening, because they ain't looking, and then they ain't learning. they're in the back playing on the phone. So sometimes in life, I believe that we are distracted by some things. And my prayer is for me and for everyone that's listening that you ask God to give you a mind that keep you focused on what's right and what's good, and give you a mind to always try to do what's best, even in a bad situation. Because there's another word I was looking at. It said at the end of the scripture, it said here, and it's moving, it says at the bottom of the thing, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So once you know wisdom and instruction, you can perceive the words of understanding, how to understand the situation, how to learn what it is that you need to learn. And it's just a whole lot of other things here that I probably it's too much to say. But what I'm basically saying is I believe that it's important to listen and to get the right thing in your ear, because the wrong thing can cause you to go the wrong way. And it's important to know who you're dealing with before you have to deal with them. You know, find out what your position is with your kids, with your family, with your peers. Find out what they believe. So when you get in a crisis, you know which way to go, left or right. If you ain't there with the Lord yet, you know, if you're not there with the Lord yet, you better know that you got some people in your corner that's not going to exaggerate your situation. Not going to have you doing 60 in the hole. Not going to have you out on a limb and they saying, oh, she's so stupid. Or now you're talking about me. You gave me the advice, but you got to know where you're getting the advice from. So be wise in who you're dealing with. Until you get to know the Lord and you ain't there yet, just find somebody that's doing something that's positive and productive and going away that's worthy of you asking for the advice. That's my advice. And when you know the Lord, then not saying you ain't going to need people, because God going to use people. But you go to the Lord and let him lead you to the people that's going to help you. He'll tell you yes or nay. He'll give you that unction in your spirit. You know, just no. Sit right there. Don't go there. When you get that thing in your spirit, be telling you don't do it. Don't do it, because God is warning you. That ain't the way to go. So just be encouraged. Amen. Be encouraged, everybody.
Amen. That's Amen. A good word, right? But I'm telling you that when you said that hit me, because Cynthia and I were talking about that earlier this week. I was mentioning, you know, every time the Holy Spirit tells me not to do something and I yield because I'm worried of what somebody else is going to think, how they're going to receive the information, it always comes back to bite me. And that's one thing that I'm working on even more this year. See, we're all working on something. It's just being able to say, no, that's not what the Spirit say, and say nothing else. Say nothing else, because it doesn't matter what the other person thinks. If God gives you that in your stomach, that's your answer. That's what this whole message is about. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just telling me. That's what this whole message is about. You have the answer to all your problems. It always comes. And when I was little, you know, I used to wonder how my mother knew things. But we know right from wrong. You always know when you're doing wrong. And when it comes back, you'll say to yourself, something told me not to do it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's how this thing
comes. I had a listen.
Uh-huh. Because he told you that's the answer to all of your problems. That's our show. I'll be right back.
Wow.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Wow, ladies, that was a great show. That was a great show. We got right at the end, and the Holy Spirit brought that thing around. You always know right from wrong. That's your answer.
Amen. That's right.
All right. Audience, we'll see you next week. Have a blessed week, ladies. I appreciate you, and we'll talk later. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Okay, bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Yay.